Hi everyone, my name's Chad Sharp.
And I'm Jelle van Assema.
And this is Check 50.
Yes, so we're gonna be talking about Check 50, which is actually sort of the step after Debug 50, when you're sure your program works and you get to check it with Check 50. Now I'm not sure whether you've all already run Check 50 once, but this is something you'll see. So this is a problem set called cache, and it ran a whole lot of checks against this. All these green smileys are checks that pass, so that's a good thing. And I'm gonna sort of dive into what a student sees on its like first problem set in CS50 called Hello, and what running Check 50 may look like. So what is Check 50? Check 50 is a tool to check for correctness. So that's whether your program actually works in the end. So when you're ready and you think you've solved the problem, you get to run this tool and it will tell you whether you've caught all the edge cases and the actual program just works. Right now, we're really focusing on making Check 50, well, it was already open source, but also very, very extensible so that you can use it for your own problems, for your own new assignments, and you can help us and introduce new checks to Check 50. And one thing we're trying to do with Check 50 is to sort of include some hints if certain mistakes happen. So let's say you forget a new line, you'll get a hint like, hey, maybe you just forgot this new line. Or maybe there is a specific case that checks for a very specific error, and it will sort of try and get the student to understand that error and what it takes to fix it. So now for our live demo. Let's see. Right. So a student may write something like this. So now I'm feeling relatively comfortable. It should print hello world because, hey, there's the printf statement there. And now I get to run check 50. So I got to type quite a few words here, but this is something that will generally ship with a problem set. So this is something a student will technically just copy paste. And if I do so, it'll start uploading the submission. Oh, hang on. Ah, right. Just skipping ahead to the next slide. One of the things we do is we host Check 50 on one repo, so that's the actual Check 50 code. And then the problems and the checks are hosted on another repo. So what happens when I type, this whole line, is it actually looks for a repo called CS50, within that a folder called 2018 and an X and hello. So this is basically just saying, hey, from this repo, from this year, from this version of CS50, CS50X, take the hello problem. So it's sort of targeting a very specific test case.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So let's see. Right, hello lives here. So what it's going to do is it's going to upload hello.c and then run all its checks online. When setting up Check 50 for the first time, you actually have to register with GitHub. We use GitHub as a sort of internal database for all student submission, and from there on we actually run checks. So yeah, first time you run Check 50, you actually have to log in. So what it's doing now is it's actually running the checks. This is done online on AWS. And pretty soon we should see some results. Ah, there we go. So we got three types of results. We got a green result. Hey, hello.c exists, so that's good. And we got a red result, which states it does not compile. And we got a yellow result. So the yellow result is like a check that is dependent on a previous check, in this case, compiled. So it's basically stating, hey, your program didn't compile, I can't check that it actually prints something. So let's see. So it didn't compile. So if I try to compile it locally, it actually gives me this pretty cryptic message. But hey, we got help 50 for that. And here's the help. So apparently we forgot a semicolon. And we forgot a semicolon at the end of line 5. So let's try and include that. And compile again. Seems good. So now when we check again, so this time the username and password are cached so that we don't have to continue typing these. So this all takes a little time because we're running this actually on an external server, so we have to wait for that to boot up and then load in this one submission and then actually start checking. Ah, so it's a little better. We got two smileys and one sad smiley. And it turns out that it expected hello world / n, and we printed hello world. Now, one thing that Check50 offers you if you actually run it online is this link, and which we open it up, it'll link you to cs50.me with the check results. So here you'll see that, well, hello C exists and it compiles, and it also shows you what it actually was doing. So when it was compiling, it actually ran Clang with some arguments, and then it checked that the program actually ran. And then for the hello world check, it actually expected, so I guess I can zoom in a little. It actually expected hello world / n, and we gave it hello world. And then as an extra tip, it tells us, hey, you probably just forgot a new line, because that's one specific mistake we made.
How did you get to that screen?
This screen is... So when you run check 50, the last line it outputs will be a link to the test results. So all I did was click on this one link here, and it gave me that screen. Yeah. So we try and offer these kind of sort of helpful messages for like silly mistake, just forgetting a new line at the end of the line, so that students don't hung up on like trivial cases. So what I can do now is actually insert that new line, run it one more time, and hopefully it'll be correct. So this is going to take a little while. If you want, this is currently run online. You can also run it offline, locally. In that case, you sadly won't get the link. But what you will get is a little bit of extra speed.
And Check50 can be used offline as well. So for those who don't have internet access, in the offline version of the IDE, Check50 can run completely offline. Essentially, the checks are downloaded beforehand once and then run locally.
Yeah.
You have a question?
So the version that installs Docker and all that, you're saying that can actually do the Check50 locally?
Yes, the offline IDE, which relies on Docker, yes, correct.
So I have a quick question about that. If indeed it was you had internet access at the time that you were running it on the installed version, right? Mm-hmm. Would you be able to get any of the,
yep.
Did you submit 50 from there, or could you do anything? Do you know what I'm saying, like, from the installed version?
Yes, so. Even if you have the Docker container installed locally, you can still use all of the tools online if you have internet access. Kareem?
I just want to add that you don't really have to use Docker for this. Pretty much all of our tools, including Check50 and Render50, are both available in PyPI, the Python repository in this.
And you can install them very easily using pip install Check50, pip install Submit50, or pip install Render50.
So in case you ever need to or want to look at what Check50 actually does and what the checks actually do, let's say you are working with a student and you get this one check and it just keeps turning red even though you don't know what to do, these are basically the two important links to go to. The above one is the Check50 tool, which will actually show you how Check50 works internally. And the other one is the checks repo. That's where our checks live. It's going to change to problems pretty soon, but for now it's checks. And now to continue on and actually show you what Check50 looks like behind the scenes, or at least how the checks look like behind the scenes, Chad is going to tell you a little bit more about that.
Okay, so what we're going to start doing in a moment is we're going to look at what that hello world check actually looks like. We do want to stress, though, what I'm going to show you is the Check50 API. You do not need to know anything about the Check50 API in order to use Check50 in your classes. This is essentially for those who either are curious and want to know how Check50 works underneath the hood, or for those who are maybe even a little bit more adventurous and would consider writing checks for their own problem sets for things that you do within your class. So let's look at the anatomy of a check. Okay, so this is what a possible iteration of the Hello World check might look like. You can see up here at the top, we're importing Check50 and all of the functions that come from Check50. And additionally, since this is a C problem set, we're importing some specific C-specific functions as well. Compile is one such example down here. Every check corresponds precisely to one function, and we can see that those who are familiar with, intimately familiar with Python might recognize this at syntax as being something called a decorator. Essentially what this does is it tells Check50 this function is a check. So when Check50 runs this file, it says, hey, run me and record the results that I give you back. You could have other functions in the file that didn't have this decorator and they wouldn't be run. Additionally, this decorator, this check decorator, can take, optionally, can take an argument. And that argument is the dependencies that Yella alluded to earlier. So for the primary reason that we that we structure our checks this way, where a check can depend on a previous one, is both it saves some work for Check50, but also it provides it allows us to provide more actionable feedback to students. You can imagine if a student submitted code that didn't compile, and instead of just one check that checked the output of the program, there were 10 or 20. What a student would see if we didn't have this dependency idea when they submitted a program that didn't compile is just a whole text of red frowny faces. And it wouldn't necessarily be clear where exactly they should even begin. And so, as you saw earlier, with this sort of dependency system, a student would just see a bunch of yellow faces for all the checks that weren't run, and the check that is causing those checks to not be run is highlighted in red, so they know exactly where to start. Additionally, you may have noticed that in each of those checks, they had some sort of description that told you what they did. We use a feature of Python called docstrings, which you may or may not be familiar with if you've gotten that far in CS50. Docstrings are used in Python to provide documentation for a function, and here they tell Check50 what this check does. So once again, we see that the descriptions as they're shown to students. Right, so in the previous examples that I showed you, we were checking for just the string hello world. But it's possible that you might want to accept there is a broad category of acceptable outputs. So for example, some students might capitalize the H in hello. We don't necessarily want to penalize them for capitalizing the H in hello. That seems sort of needlessly pedantic. What the Check50 API allows you to do is provide the standard out function here with what is called a regular expression. And regular expressions are something that are used in programming quite often to specify a pattern that a string should follow. So in special regular expression syntax, this open bracket, capital H, lowercase h, close bracket denotes either a capital H or a lowercase h. So the student can either capitalize hello or not. Additionally, this question mark isn't an extra bit of punctuation. It essentially tells Check50 that the previous character was optional. So they can include the exclamation mark or not. They're feeling particularly excited. Maybe they want to add that exclamation to their code. However, when Check50 shows output to students, it shows them, you know, we expected this, we got this. And so we don't necessarily want to show them the regular expression because that's somewhat too technical. They might think that you literally had to print out open bracket H, lowercase h, close bracket. And so this second argument here essentially shows a more human readable version, something that we'd actually want to show the students. Additionally here, you might want to get a little bit more technical. You notice that the version that you saw on the screen actually asked the student, did you forget a new line? And so The Check50 API allows you to provide some case-specific feedback for students. It requires that you drop down into Python. You're leaving our API a little bit. But we can see here that we're importing Python's the match function for Python's regular expression library, and we're doing these regular expression matching ourselves. But what it allows us to do is say, OK, so it didn't match this regular expression, which included the new line. Does it match this regular expression, which doesn't? And if it does, then we'll say, did you forget to put a new line? And this has, we use this in several of our checks. For example, in cache, which you saw early on, that's a pset which students are required to, given a dollar amount, print out how many coins in US currency it would take to get that dollar amount. One bug that bites students often is something called floating point error. If they forget to use a round function and round their output to the nearest cent, they can get a wrong answer. We similarly use this feature in that check to say, hey, maybe you forgot to round. And we can see right here what that looks like, in case you forgot. And importantly, this only shows up if they forgot a new line. So we don't just always ask this if they get it wrong, even though that probably is the most common case. All right, so now, what you're probably more concerned about, grading with Check50. So one of the primary advantages of something like Check50 for teachers is that it facilitates automated grading. So when Check50 runs, we get those results. And when students actually submit their code via a tool called Submit50, on the back end, Check50 is still run, and its results are recorded. And that is used to calculate the student's grade. Currently, this is done on a website called cs50.me. Which looks something like this. This interface may be changing a little bit soon. We'll see. But we can see here that the under correctness, these scores were auto-generated by Check50. So Check50 was run. It saw that all the checks passed and calculated the appropriate score out of 5. Additionally, here you also see style. That's a spoiler for an upcoming presentation, which is also automatically generated. If you are feeling adventurous and decide to write your own checks, the only difference to students is that identifier, that CSFD/2018/whatever, will be slightly different, but they will also be automatically graded, or they can be. All right, so reviewing one more time, Check50 is a tool to check the correctness of students' code. It's meant to be used by the student fairly often as they are programming. The reason we want to do that is to ensure that as they're programming, they get actionable feedback. So they know, I've written half the project. I can already get feedback and see which checks I'm passing. This makes sure that they're not, coming up on the deadline. This makes sure they're not coming up on the deadline with no idea how good their code is, and they run Check50, 5 minutes before the deadline's due, and they see that, oh, they're failing all these checks. In other words, it lets them check 50 themselves before they wreck 50 themselves. Additionally, this tool is open source and extensible. And so while it's certainly not the expectation, we do our best to make it as easy to write checks and even as easy as possible to extend Check50's API. For example, you're teaching a class in Java and you want to provide some, and you're very comfortable with writing in Python, you want to provide some additional functionality that's Java specific to help other teachers, you could do something like that. And finally, it's extensible and reusable. So it can be used for not just our problems, but any of yours as well, if you want to write the checks. This was Check50. Any questions? Yes?
Does the style check, I didn't notice, did you program in the style check, or does that automatically go through style?
So Style50 is the tool that actually grades style. It doesn't show up in the Check50 output precisely because Style50 does it. On the back end, when Submit50 is run and sends all of the code remotely, the style check is also run automatically.
So if I wrote my own check to actually check for the outputs of the program, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have to worry about the style.
Oh no, not at all. Right. Yep. As long as it's a language that Style50 supports. Which we'll get to in a moment. Any other questions about Check50? Yep.
So are you going to talk a little bit more about Submit50 and the CS50.me?
That is coming up, yes. Just sort of a teaser for the future. Yep.
For Check50 and writing our own checks, I know that, I think it was Brian sent us some instructions earlier in the year if we wanted to do that.
Yep.
Is that going to, how we design our own checks, is that going to change at some point with how Check50 is developing, or is it still we're going to have our own GitHub site with like Java's slash checks that becomes the slug, or?
Yes, so that the instructions that Brian likely sent you will be changing somewhat. So we are restructuring a little bit of how that works. For example, the exact API is slightly different, likely, than any information that you got from Brian earlier in the year. More to your question, though, so yes, the repo that will still be a part of will still be a part of the identifier. Check 50 needs to know somehow where to get the checks from that it needs to run. What it will look like in the future is the first two items in that slash kind of path will be your username and the name of your checks repo. And that will tell Check50 where to get the checks from. So for ours, it'll be CS50/problems soon. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
Okay, great. Other questions?